We are not declaring nuclear war on a foreign state. We are not bringing a virus in that could wipe out our agriculture sector forever. We are allowing two people who love each other to have that recognised. And I can't see what's wrong with that for love nor money, sir. I just cannot.
What about Jesus saying in the Gospel of Luke, if you want to be a follower of mine, you must give up all your possessions? You tell me how you deal with that, and then I'll tell you how I deal with Leviticus.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Kiwi lawmakers and a retired Episcopal bishop address marriage matters, Paris protests get uglier as equality draws near, and a half-baked policy change gets the Boy Scouts of America less than honorable mention. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending April 20th, 2013.
The eyes are 77, the nose are 44.
New Zealand lawmakers have made theirs the first country in the Asia-Pacific region and the 13th in the world to open civil marriage to same-gender couples. Overwhelming approval of the bill was expected on its third and final reading on April 17th in the country's unicameral House of Representatives. The marriage, definition of marriage, amendment bill now only needs royal assent, which is just a formality. The first marriages of lesbian and gay couples in New Zealand should begin in August. The bill's chief sponsor was out lesbian MP Louisa Wall, who wore a colorful rainbow top for the final vote. She got celebratory bouquets and hugs by several MPs after the tally was announced, while other MPs applauded the packed public galleries of equality advocates as they cheered and sang. MP Jamie Lee Ross of the governing center-right National Party supported the bill, arguing that nobody gets hurt when gay couples say they're married, but gay couples who want to be married are hurt when they are kept from marrying by the state. "I'm gay," said Labour MP Marion Street. "I don't wish to get married, but I don't want not to be able to get married." The star of the debate, judging by how widely distributed his remarks have become, was National MP Maurice Williamson. You'll hear his humorous and heartfelt comments and more on this story later in the program.
A civil marriage equality bill that enjoys popular support and is expected to pass has traveled a much uglier road in France. Large street protests that began several weeks ago opposing the legislation and its most vocal supporter, Socialist President François Hollande, have become increasingly volatile. An attempt to march on the presidential palace in Paris earlier this month was stopped by a strong police presence. Officers needed tear gas to turn back the crowd, and there were several arrests. Assaults on gay people across the country have escalated, and four men invaded and threatened patrons at a gay bar in Lille late this week, beating the manager and causing property damage. About 70 protesters were taken into custody earlier in the week after they tried to set up an opposition campsite outside the National Assembly, the lower house of parliament. Government officials renewed calls for restraint after riot police again used tear gas to disperse protesters at a demonstration in Paris's Latin Quarter. Marriage equality opponents in the nominally Roman Catholic country include church hardliners, social conservatives, French Muslims, and evangelical Christians. Roman Catholic Cardinal André Ventrois, the Archbishop of Paris, warned fellow bishops at a national conference this week that the government's plan to open marriage to same-gender couples could start a social civil war in France. "This is the way a violent society develops," he claimed. Violence has even spread to France's National Assembly. Punches were reportedly thrown in a protracted scuffle in the chamber late this week after a 25-hour debate on the marriage equality measure. One lawmaker said he'd never seen anything like it in his 30 years in the lower chamber. Some blamed fatigue and the high emotions brought on by the controversial nature of the issue.
A constitutional convention in Ireland has overwhelmingly approved a proposed amendment to open civil marriage to same-gender couples there. 79 of the 100 delegates meeting in Dublin on April 14th voted in favor. The convention also recommended that the Irish government pass laws incorporating changed arrangements in regard to the parentage, guardianship, and the upbringing of children. The convention was set up last year by the Fine Gael Labour coalition government and charged with secularizing much of the Irish constitution. Convention delegates included politicians from the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland, as well as members of the public. The government is now required to hold parliamentary debate on the issue within 4 months. Justice Minister Alan Shatter told reporters that there was a reasonable prospect that the government would also hold a public referendum on the issue before the next general election. But officials are reportedly in no hurry to schedule one. Full civil marriage equality would be an upgrade from the civil partnerships created for Irish same-gender couples 2 years ago. Roman Catholic church leaders predictably opposed the idea, claiming that religious rights would be trampled in the process. But the activist group Marriage Equality Ireland announced this week that a poll it commissioned earlier this year showed public support for marriage equality has reached 75%.
Despite post-election loss public hand-wringing that the party needs to be more inclusive, the Republican National Committee reaffirmed its opposition to civil marriage equality during its three-day spring meeting this week in Los Angeles. One of 12 unanimously approved resolutions insists that marriage is a union between one man and one woman. An addendum asked the U.S. Supreme Court to uphold the constitutionality of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act and California's Proposition 8. The declarations ignore recent public opinion polls showing that more than half of the American people now support marriage equality. While Republican Senators Rob Portman of Ohio and Mark Kirk of Illinois each recently announced his support, they are clearly the exception to the party's rule. Tony Perkins of the Reactionary Family Research Council, a mainstay contributor to Republican coffers, told his members to withhold support to the party if it ever endorses marriage equality. He warned in a letter co-signed by the leaders of 10 other influential conservative groups to party chairman Reince Priebus prior to the meeting that an abandonment of its principles will necessarily result in the abandonment of our constituents to their support.
A spokesman for the Boy Scouts of America announced this week that officials were proposing a policy change to allow membership by openly gay youth, but that gay and lesbian adults would still be denied leadership positions. A months-long survey of some 200,000 respondents on the issue that included leaders of many church and religious groups was described by spokesman Darren Smith as the most comprehensive listening exercise in the history of scouting. The resulting report concluded that a change in the membership policy specific to youth only would be consistent with the religious beliefs of the BSA's major chartered organizations. Smith told Reuters that if the resolution is approved by the 1,400-member National Council at its annual meeting in Texas the week of May 20th, no youth may be denied membership in the Boy Scouts of America on the basis of sexual orientation or preference alone. Several LGBT advocacy groups, however, immediately criticized the Scouts for not also lifting its ban on out adult leaders. GLAD spokesman Rich Ferraro complained that by refusing to consider an end to its ban on gay and lesbian parents, the Boy Scouts have missed an opportunity to exercise leadership and usher the organization back to relevancy.
In other youth news, two of the leading Roman Catholic schools in the African country of Ghana made headlines this week for expelling at least 53 allegedly gay and lesbian students. 19 young men were kicked out of Opukuwari Secondary High School in Ashanti on April 15th for practicing homosexuality, according to Radio XYZ, which also reported that the students had managed to form a society on campus and regularly meet to discuss how to convince more students to practice the act. More than 34 students were reportedly expelled from the Wesley Girls Senior High School in Kumasi on April 12th for what the Ghana Herald called indulging in the bestial and detestable act of lesbianism. Parents at each school were apparently notified before their children were expelled and presumably given the reason. Ghanaian human rights activists are calling on the government to intervene. MacDarlin Kabina, director of Ghana's Center for Popular Education and Human Rights, told Gay Star News that outing students to their parents is irresponsible and dangerous and could cripple these young people's futures. Many could end up on the streets and eventually be pushed into a life of crime. The school should follow their religious ethics, he added, learning to love, care, and support each other, as the Bible mentions.
And finally, activists in queer-friendly Sydney were shocked earlier this week when authorities ordered the removal of the Oxford Street Rainbow Crossing that had been painted for the city's 35th Mardi Gras celebration. Thousands signed a petition calling for the crossing to become a permanent part of what is the center of Sydney's LGBT community. But ironically named New South Wales Roads Minister Duncan Gay said that the crossing had to be removed for safety reasons, claiming that there had been at least 15 near misses in the past month as people posed for photos in the middle of the crossing. He said that he was all in favor of an alternative permanent rainbow attraction if the Sydney City Council decides to create one off state roads. People across Australia and in other countries have taken to the streets to create chalk protest rainbows. It apparently began when James Brechney chalked a rainbow crossing in front of his home and posted a photo on Facebook. His do-it-yourself rainbow crossings page has since been liked more than 17,000 times and sparked similar rainbows on streets across the country. Shelves in stores that carry chalk have reportedly been emptied in some cities. Many sympathetic Sydney businesses have marked the pavement outside their shops, bars, and restaurants to show support for the return of the original crossing, which cost about $65,000 to install and about $30,000 to remove. Chalked rainbows have also been spotted as far away as France, the U.S., Germany, and Kenya.
That's News Wrap for the week ending April 20th, 2013. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and produced by Steve Pride.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep This Way Out on the air at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
The bishop boldly bandies with bigots, but first, a marriage equality rainbow rises over New Zealand. New Zealand became the 13th nation in the world this week and the first in the Asia-Pacific region to open civil marriage to same-gender couples. Legislative approval followed debate on the third and final reading of the Marriage Definition of Marriage Amendment on April 17th. Colorfully out Labour MP Louisa Wall was the measure's chief sponsor, and she donned a rainbow top for the occasion. The vote wasn't really in doubt, though no one knew exactly how large the margin would be. 62-year-old National Party MP Maurice Williamson became an internet sensation for his humorous and heartfelt comments during debate.
Sir, I want to first of all congratulate Louisa Wall for this bill, and I want to say, sir, that the good news about the years in this Parliament is you learn to deflect all of the dreadful sort of fire and brimstone accusations that are going to happen, sir. I've had a reverend in my local electorate call, the gay onslaught will start the day after this bill is passed. Sir, we're really struggling to know what the gay onslaught will look like. We don't know if it'll come down the Pakuranga Highway as a series of troops, or whether it'll be a gas that flows in over the electorate and locks us all in. I also, sir, had a Catholic priest tell me that I was supporting an unnatural act. I found that quite interesting coming from someone who's taken an oath of celibacy for his whole life. I always say, celibacy, okay, we'll go with celibacy. Okay, I haven't done it, so I don't know what it's about. I also had a letter telling me I would burn in the fires of hell for eternity, and that was a bad mistake because I've got a degree in physics. I used the thermodynamic laws of physics. I put in my body weight and my humidity and so on. I assumed the furnace to be at 5,000 degrees and I will last for just on 2.1 seconds. It's hardly eternity. What do you think? And some more disgusting claims about what adoption would be. Well, sir, I've got three fantastic adopted kids. I know how good adoption is, and I found some of it just disgraceful. I found some of the bullying tactics really evil. And, sir, I gave up being scared of bullies when I was at primary school. However, a huge amount of the opposition was from moderates, from people who were concerned, who were seriously worried what this might do to the fabric of our society. I respect their concern. I respect their worry. They were worried about what it might do to their families and so on. Let me repeat to them now, sir. All we are doing with this bill is allowing two people who love each other to have that love recognised by way of marriage. That is all we are doing. We are not declaring nuclear war on a foreign state. We are not bringing a virus in that could wipe out our agriculture sector forever. We are allowing two people who love each other to have that recognised. And I can't see what's wrong with that for love nor money, sir. I just cannot. I cannot understand why someone would be opposed. I understand why people don't like what it is that others do. That's fine. We're all in that category. But I give a promise to those people who are opposed to this bill right now. I give you a watertight, guaranteed promise. The sun will still rise tomorrow. Your teenage daughter will still argue back with you as if she knows everything. Your mortgage will not grow. You will not have skin diseases or rashes or toads in your bed, sir. The world will just carry on. So don't make this into a big deal. This is fantastic for the people it affects. But for the rest of us, life will go on. And finally, can I say, sir, one of the messages I had was that this bill was the cause of our drought. This bill was the cause of our drought. Well, if any of you follow my Twitter account, you will see that in the Pakuranga electorate this morning, it was pouring with rain. We have the most enormous big gay rainbow across my electorate. It has to be a sign, sir. It has to be a sign. If you're a believer, it's certainly a sign. And can I finish for all those who are concerned about this with a quote from the Bible? It's Deuteronomy. I thought Deuteronomy was a cat out of cats, but never mind. It's Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 29. Be ye not afraid.
Finally, after the last MP had spoken and a bit of housekeeping was handled by the Speaker, the final tally was officially announced.
Order. Our members and the gallery, can I just ask that you refrain from any comment? There will be a waiata after the clerk has announced the third reading. Members, the ayes are 77, the noes are 44.
Someone in the gallery began singing the indigenous Maori love song Pokari Kari Ana. Its tune was reportedly borrowed in 1912 from the Irish hymn to the Blessed Virgin. The lyrics, roughly translated, include, O my beloved, come back to me. My heart is breaking of love for you. The first legal weddings of lesbian and gay couples in New Zealand are expected to begin in August. As Toll Road, a self-described online site with homosexual tendencies, proclaimed, this is what equality sounds like.
This is Bishop Gene Robinson, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine.
He was ushered into office under heavy security in 2003 and recently retired as a respected religious leader and author. That may sound like an episode of The Borgias, but it's the story of Gene Robinson, the Episcopal Church's first openly gay bishop. The former head of the Diocese of New Hampshire has been speaking around the country about his book, God Believes in Love, Straight Talk About Gay Marriage, and a documentary on his life called Love Free or Die. He visited his home turf in Concord, New Hampshire recently, where WNHN broadcaster Arnie Arneson took him back to the beginning.
What everyone knows about you is that you are a gay man. When did you know that?
You know, it's when did you know and when did you know? Gay wasn't a word. Well, it was a word, but it meant like a fun party, right?
Right, exactly.
So there were no labels, so it was hard to put a label on something that really wasn't talked about. If it was talked about, it was always in a whisper and always with a kind of condemning tone. Mm-hmm. But I can remember when I was about 12, some friends of mine got hold of a Playboy magazine, which was less risque, by the way, than what you can see on TV any day today.
Yeah, back
right?
then, yeah. Exactly.
But I had this sense that these pictures were doing more for them than they were doing for me. And almost at the same instant, I realized I'd better not say that. That not only would it endanger our friendship, but that I might physically be in danger as well. And that began the kind of bifurcated life that most gay and lesbian people, certainly the ones who grew up when I did, started to lead. So you had this self that you put out to the world,
yeah,
and then there was the real self that you told no one about.
Now, you knew that you couldn't share this, and you knew that you needed to some extent be afraid. Did you also know that you needed to not share it and be afraid of your parents? Would your parents have been accepting?
So that would be the last place you would share it.
Yeah.
This is how discrimination and the experience of being a minority is different from an ethnic minority. Because, you know, if you're black and you get called the N-word, your parents have probably lived through that. And they've got resources to comfort you and make you strong. But if you suspect that you're homosexual, then it's the last place you would go because you might lose that thing known as home. And even today, 40% of all the kids living homeless on the streets of our cities are gay and lesbian kids who have been thrown out when they came out.
Oh, my God.
So we have made huge progress, and there is still so far to go. We've got gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender kids living on our streets because they have been thrown out of their homes when they came out.
So, oh gosh. So as you're describing it, you knew you were different. You go to New York. Do you go to New York because you think New York is the place where you get to find yourself, where you get to celebrate who you are?
No, so
or is New York part of the cloister where you still have to live this bifurcated life and there's this gene and then there's that gene?
Well, not only was I trying to live this bifurcated life, but I was trying to tame that life that horrified me because I had been told day in and day out that to be attracted to someone of the same gender was an abomination to God. And so I got into therapy twice a week. Gosh, I'd love to have all that money back. You know? I got in therapy twice a week to become straight. In those days, we thought that was possible.
Right.
No one could have been more motivated than I was. I wanted a family. You know, I had great relationships with women, and I wanted to be married. And so at the end of 2 years, I felt I was ready for a relationship with a woman and met a wonderful woman from southern New Hampshire. And I told her within 2 weeks of meeting her that, you know, what relationships I had been with men, been in therapy. I thought I was ready for this. And we fell in love. And about a month before the wedding, I broke down in tears and said to her, you know, I'm just so fearful that this is going to raise its ugly head again. And she said, if that should happen, we love each other enough, we'll deal with it. And 13 years later, we did. And we decided, really quite amazingly, that we were both paying too high a price for this, and that the only way we could live up to our wedding vow to honor one another in the name of God was to let each other go. And in fact, we went back to church to end our marriage. We took a priest with us to the judge's chambers for our divorce decree, and then we went back to his church, and in the context of a communion service, we asked each other's forgiveness in any ways that we had hurt one another. We pledged ourselves to the joint raising of our two children. And we gave our wedding rings back to each other as the symbol of the vows that we no longer held each other to. And we cried a lot and had communion. It was just one of the most healing moments of my whole life.
Talk to me about this book. What is the motive for God Believes in Love?
We're at this astounding moment in American history. As of the election, we have now 9 states where marriage equality is the law, plus the District of Columbia. But that's the low-hanging fruit, right? There are many, many, many places in America where that's not true. And we even have quite a lot of people who are feeling more tolerant, certainly, of gay and lesbian people. I think the reason is that now pretty much everyone in America knows they know someone gay. But they're not ready to go all the way to advocating for marriage. And the questions that I ask in this book, I basically imagined a conversation between me and one of these people who are reasonably tolerant, but they really can't find their way all the way to marriage. And so each one of those questions forms a chapter in the book, and I try to answer those. It looks at legal stuff and constitutional stuff and religious stuff. It's a general book that sort of looks at the whole issue of marriage for same-gender couples. And rather than having to read a whole book on the legal stuff or a whole book on the religious, biblical stuff, it answers those questions in a form that I think will not only make sense to people who actually have those questions, but also it provides a script for those of us who are advocates but don't know what we'll say to a next-door neighbor or a coworker they ask us those questions.
Well, I was going to ask a question. When you have this discussion with other clergy in faiths that tend to be very antagonistic to the idea of gay marriage and homosexuality, how do you challenge them?
I never tell them what they should think or believe. I only tell them what I believe and how I came to believe it.
Okay.
And then I let that witness do its work. I would even say, then I let the Holy Spirit take over and do the Holy Spirit's work in that person. When we shake our finger and tell someone else what they should think and believe, we get nowhere.
Well, you know who I'm thinking of? I'm thinking about the fact that they could not get their way in the United States, and so a lot of Episcopalians went to Asia and went to mm-hmm. Africa. How did you deal with those men, in particular, I suppose there were no women, when they were so intolerant of you? How did you converse?
Well, yeah, I mean, you kill them with kindness, right?
That's charm one. The pants off of them, Gene.
Absolutely.
I know it.
You know, because that is the first moment when they become confused. And confusion is a real step forward above certainty, right? And so it gives me an opportunity to be in their midst and just to challenge some of those things. So, for instance, I love when I'm debating someone who is divorced and remarried. So I say to them, I'll tell you what I think about homosexuality in the Bible. If you'll tell me how you can be remarried when Jesus says remarriage after divorce is adultery.
Right.
You tell me how you deal with that. Or I will say, you consider yourself a biblical literalist, and you believe it's just straight and true, just read it. So what about Jesus saying in the Gospel of Luke, if you want to be a follower of mine, you must give up all your possessions. You tell me how you deal with that, and then I'll tell you how I deal with Leviticus.
In some circles, they call that mighty fine preaching from retired Episcopal Bishop Gene Robinson. His latest book is God Believes in Love, Straight Talk About Gay Marriage. Arnie Arneson sang in the choir.
I want to get married, we should get married, people get married all the time. I want to get married, we should get married, people get married every day. I want to get married, we should get married, people get married, all I'm saying. I want to get married, I will get married.
Thanks for tuning into This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, Rick Watts and Wenzel Jones contributed program material. Thanks also to Steve Pride and to Arnie Arneson and WNHN-FM in Concord, New Hampshire. Daniel J. Cartier performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is made possible by the Yavanna Foundation and by our generous listener supporters. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to find out about our 25-year history and how you can get involved. While you're there, check out the links to our podcast, blog, and Facebook page. You can also hear This Way Out on iTunes. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 2BBB Bellingen, New South Wales, KUGS Bellingham, Washington, CJSF Burnaby, British Columbia, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned!